Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then in another clash of undefeated teams, Earl Clark and Coach Steven Jackson lead the DMV Trilogy against Montrezl Harrell, Coach Dr. J, and the Chicago Triplets. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET. Presented by iHeart.
Get ready for another episode of Nico at Night. I promise you,
I like that.
This is not a rerun.
Yeah.
That's Saturday night, Ohio State, UCLA in the Horseshoe. Today is Tuesday. It's Talking Tuesday on the beat. That means television. 10 TVs. Yeah. Adam King is joining me, Austin Ward, to get ready for Ryan Day's weekly press conference, which, adjust your schedules, will be starting 1 hour earlier, 11 o'clock.
That means you have to watch this video 1 hour earlier. So if you're watching it past 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you're already late.
Yeah, try and catch up. Mm. But let's get set, as we always do, with the burning topics on Adam King's mind. You missed Saturday. I missed you.
I missed you.
At Ross-Ade Stadium.
I think it was okay.
You saw the broadcast footage, so you might have seen some things that I did not.
You know what's crazy? That is the first game in a very long time that I've watched on a broadcast.
What'd you think?
It's an interesting watch. I find myself, like, halfway through the first quarter, I'm like, ask about Carnell Tate. Somebody bring up Carnell Tate. Anybody. And finally, Jake Butt's like, hey, I don't think we've seen Carnell Tate. I'm like, hey, we got there.
We sure hadn't.
Yeah.
Now, we could see him. Yeah. That's the one thing you were missing. Yeah. Like, well, he doesn't have his helmet.
Yeah, he's just standing right there. You could see him in the background. He's, like, right on the edge, the side of them. I'm like, what? That's interesting.
Yeah. So that means your first question.
My first question is, I don't think that Carnell Tate went out for warmups, stretched, ran a route, and felt something twinge. I think Carnell Tate probably felt something for a little bit throughout the week.
We saw him leave the Penn State game.
Yeah.
Sort of gingerly, limping. And I thought maybe it would be an ankle situation, mm-hmm. but the way that Ohio State has described it makes you think maybe muscle. But
yeah. So, maybe he felt good all week, kind of took it easy, and they were like, let's just see how it is the morning of. And then the morning of, he was like, hey, guys, it's a little tender. And they were like, well, this is Purdue. So what we're going to have you do is get back on that bus, mm-hmm. and we will see you at the Woody. It couldn't have been that serious, one, because he was dressed.
And I know
that. And he traveled. And Ohio State, they're not shy about the injury report. You saw Josh Padilla. Like, if he was out, he would have been out.
Yeah.
First question. I think I would rather ask Grant, because, first question, it's going to be, we'll see. He'll say something about UCLA. Who most impressed you stepping in? Who,
That's a good question.
Because there is Mylon Graham. Here is your opportunity. Go take it. And I think Mylon would tell you, of course, his first opportunity. That's tough. You've got to catch that football. He made up for it. They ran the exact same play in the opposite direction, and he made the catch that time. So in Ryan Day's eyes, he's had a chance to watch the film. Does this get Mylon Graham on the field more? There are worlds. I look at the San Francisco 49ers right now. We're like, sometimes injuries allow the next guy to get more reps. Yep. Mac Jones is never going to give up that role now. I'm just 49ers fan. That's his job. With, obviously, Mylon's not going to be on the field full time, but I think this probably puts in the back of your mind, we need to get five on the field a little more. How impressed were they with Bryson Rodgers?
Yeah. I thought Bryson Rodgers really made the most of those reps as well.
I did too. What's the way to put this? I was pleasantly surprised. I feel like Bryson Rodgers is a very good wide receiver that very much gets overshadowed in this room. You go Carnell, Jeremiah, Brandon Innes, and everybody talks about Mylon, and then everybody talks about Quincy Porter. And so somewhere in there is Bryson Rodgers, and it was good to see him take advantage.
We see that a lot. It's human nature, because you know who the established veterans are. And then
you want me to list them again?
Well, no, you covered them.
Okay,
but
at
any position, just generally, the way that we talk about Ohio State's roster, you have this sandwich where there are really good players and really highly touted recruits sitting in the middle who are waiting for an opportunity. I'd say someone like Aaron Scott is in that mm-hmm. same situation, where we were in a rush in this offseason. And it turns out that was pretty justified with Devin Sanchez. But you overlook a Bryce Wester and Aaron Scott because he's not going to be a starter. And he's also not the shiny new five-star toy. So Bryson Rodgers, that's compounded for him because in the middle portion of the Big Ten schedule, he was injured. And so the next conversation was, well, Quincy Porter is going to make a couple plays against Wisconsin. You've seen Mylon Graham start to get involved. And then you just kind of you double down on ignoring Bryson Rodgers. And Saturday was an opportunity for him to say, hey, forget all that. I'm still right here. I'm going to make a couple big catches on third down. I'm also going to block on the perimeter. And it's not to say that I don't disagree with you that Mylon Graham, the way he responded to the early drop was significant, but Bryson Rogers went back out there and said, hello, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And whether that, what that means for both of these guys, maybe on Saturday against UCLA reps, maybe against Rutgers, does it change anything for the end of the month? Maybe not. I don't know. But that's a good question.
All right. So let me ask you a question about my question here. And I want like a percentage that Ryan Day will actually answer this. Okay. All right. I know that Michigan is still three games away. Two games away.
Two games away.
So if you asked Ryan right now, how much are you implementing anything for Michigan? Are you thinking about Michigan? Are you considering the Wolverines? Have you focused at all on that game? What do you think he would say?
So I think the chance of you getting an answer is 100%. And the answer would go like this. We're aware of what's coming at the end of the month, but it's not going to mean anything if we don't take care of UCLA. This game, he's leaving. He's just out of here.
I mean, it's so accurate. I mean, it's exactly what he would say.
But this game is about us. The standard is the standard. The issues are always there. Yeah. The college football playoff rankings don't matter. You know, none of those things matter unless we beat UCLA on Saturday night.
And Ryan's great. I mean, he gives a lot of great. I loved his answer last week about David and Goliath. But you're right. And as I was asking it, I was like trying to weasel. There's nothing. But so maybe it's an off-season question. How much once you hit? I mean, it's snowing outside, Austin. So how much?
It's going to be beautiful on Saturday.
That's right. That's right. It's what did you call it? Nico at night?
Yeah.
Nico at night's going to be beautiful. How much are they implementing that structure during the season? Because Urban used to be very upfront that they would work on it throughout the year.
Yeah.
Are they doing that, or is it just, you know, we're obviously watching film, but we're not focusing on any of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the part that when I was asking, or I did ask Ryan Day, and I obviously didn't love it, you know, to phrase it that way as a scrimmage and an opportunity for them to experiment against a Big Ten opponent. But quite clearly, whether that's the injury situations or some of the plays that we saw using Lincoln Kienholz, I think that is putting it on film. I think all of that is for Michigan and beyond. It has to be. Because Ohio State knew once it showed up at Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday, it was not going to lose to Purdue. Mm-hmm. You know, spoiler alert, it's not going to lose to UCLA as a 31.5-point favorite on Saturday night. And it's not going to lose to Rutgers either. So if it's not using some of these opportunities available to them, yes, it's great to use it to build depth. But I think it also, like, if there are those few, you know, stones that can, you know, trip up Ohio State, to go back to the David and Goliath comparison he used last week, you know, working on the run game, expanding, you know, some of the special teams arsenal, like all that stuff, like, that has to be designed so that you win in the big house. Like, otherwise, what's the point? I know that there were some people that thought that what happened on Saturday was like, what's the point? It was boring and they didn't try everybody. And, you know, I think they were specifically accomplishing goals. And the first and foremost one on Saturday was to be healthy.
Yeah.
And that's important to get to the big house. And that wouldn't be done. Like, it's not just to save them for the postseason at this point, because I think you almost have to, that stuff is going to start on November 29th.
Okay. My next question for Ryan Day. Truth serum Ryan Day.
There he is. Lie detector version.
Lie detector Ryan Day.
We got to get this sponsored.
It's a lie detector Ryan Day sponsored by. Wait, is there lie detector companies out there? All right.
Come find us.
Are you thinking about the Heisman on the sideline up 28-0? Up, you know, like, there's going to come a time in this UCLA game. I think it'll be rapid, very rapid. My bold prediction, I know you do bold piece. Don't want to step on your toes.
No, please.
I think that this team could have 3 or 4 turnovers in this game.
Okay.
I've seen UCLA force a lot. So I think Julian Say and Jeremiah Smith are going to have a lot of opportunities to make plays. So my question then becomes, with that, how much are you thinking about the fact that that award does help with recruiting?
Yeah. And I would say, that's another spot where he's, like, the way he's acting is treating it very low. Now, it's a balance, because the only one who can approve Ohio State putting up websites for Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith is at the top of the program. That's Ryan Day. Mm-hmm. He did that. That's an unusual step for him to take. However, on Saturday, he's in the red zone And he takes number 10 off the field and puts number 3 in there, Wildcat. And
hey,
and Lincoln Keenhold scores a touchdown. So could that have boosted a Heisman campaign? Of course. Nobody's going to be going through the list and, oh, here's also another touchdown accounted for Julian Sands. Like, oh, well, forget about that. It happened against Purdue. The people that are scanning, they're not, like, the voters can't watch every game. I know I'm, you know, peeling back the curtain on how these awards are voted for, and there's hundreds of ballots. People are not watching every single game. They don't know where every touchdown comes from. So in terms of numbers accumulation, Ryan Day definitely wasn't thinking about that against Purdue. Whoa. So this is a very special episode. I don't know. We're Dream of Jeannie was on Nick at Night, right?
We're on the surface of the moon.
We've been removed to a different studio. So we've got through a couple questions. And Talking Tuesday is still going on. As you can tell. Oh, no, never mind. You can't tell anymore. So
I could write it on the wall.
But if you're watching on 97.1 The Fan or 10 TV or 10 TV Plus on those YouTube channels, a little bit different. That's okay. Everyone is very busy because things are ramping up. There's snow on the ground, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
you got to get forecasts. Mm-hmm. And they've got to look ahead to Saturday night where, again, knock on wood, it's supposed to be beautiful. But let's get back to business.
Well, I'm glad we kept going here and didn't just say have a good night, everybody, because I got a lot more questions.
Yeah, let's hear
starting
them.
With where is Nico's helmet? What happened to it? Who has it?
Not going to be at the press conference.
Well, maybe Ryan knows.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he's called. I mean, imagine if that was on display at the Woody. That would.
I think Cody Simon probably took it with him.
Yeah, I would have if I was Cody.
That's
Simon.
A trophy.
You signed that thing. And
spoils of war.
Yeah. When you look at Nico Iamaleava, if you are Matt Patricia, how much are you going to blitz him and make him uncomfortable? And so I guess we're not going to get to talk to Patricia this week. Maybe just talk to the players and ask. Because with a quarterback like Iamaleava, when you see him out there, he gets flustered very, very easy. And you may remember in that Tennessee game, he was the highlight for Tennessee. That was about the only thing that went well for the Vols. And it felt like Ohio State kind of sat back. They got a lot of pressure. I mean, they sacked him a bunch, but they sacked him with not generated pressure. If you watch him, and I go back to that Indiana game, anytime Indiana sent pressure, he turned it over. Again, I think 3 to 4 interceptions is where you're going to be, or fumbles with this game. So in that case, how much do you use this game to test your back end and say, you guys are on an island. Let's see if the UCLA can beat us deep because we want to see if we can rattle this quarterback. And I think probably coming off of the Purdue game, you have no sacks in that game. You probably want to get a little more pressure on the quarterback. So I would ask the defense, I would ask the defensive coordinator we won't talk to, sir, how much are you willing to just let this secondary go and just get after the quarterback?
Yeah, I think we're overdue to talk to Matt Patricia. He's done a few interviews after games. Mm-hmm. He's been on, you know, the post-game show on the radio with Beamer and Jay-Z. But the times that we've had to talk to him, whether that was in training camp or spring ball, like he's so smart. He's so engaging. And you learn so much anytime that he talks. It's like a lot of these games, and because I just have this feeling that Saturday and what Nico does well and what he doesn't do well lends itself to some of this caging in the quarterback and disciplined rush lanes that we've seen a lot from Matt Patricia's defense. And there have been games where that has frustrated Kenyatta Jackson or Caden Curry. It's like, you don't get to use a pass rush here. Mm-hmm. You're just going to just occupy this lane, force this into the middle. And then if that means that Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles have to come in and clean up the mess, they will do so. But that is your role. So, and it's useful because when you're talking about getting ready for the trip to the Big House, what Ryan Brown offered at Purdue, which was another opportunity where Ohio State was clearly not trying to pressure the quarterback. They were trying to cage him in. Nico's the same thing. And Bryce Underwood, with his athleticism and his rushing ability, these are preparatory opportunities. We have a good idea for how Matt Patricia wants to defend them. And it's been really successful. And so, I would kind of be surprised if he deviates from that this week against UCLA because there's really not any need to. And the only way that UCLA probably has any chance to beat you is if Nico runs for 100 yards.
Like, yeah. The problem is, I want to see more pressure because I'll be honest, I'm selfish. I am ready for UCLA and Rutgers to be over because I want to see just flip the switch.
What it's like when they go full.
Yeah. Yes. And so I think you can't go full bore at Iamaleava because if you go full bore at him, You're going to have a lot of running room there in the middle. But I still think that this, just watching how rattled he gets under pressure, and Patricia has schemed up for, it's interesting. Like the Purdue game, that was very basic. There was, I don't even know if Arvel Reese played half the game. Like, you know.
Well, there were only 44 total defensive snaps to go around.
That's insane. So they didn't really do much there. I'm trying to think of, you know, the other Penn State, they schemed up stuff specific for Penn State.
Yep.
Do you need to scheme up anything specific for UCLA? Are you wasting? And that kind of leads me to another question that I wanted to ask Ryan about the red zone, which is there a reason you put the stuff on tape now? Is it to keep Michigan or the down the road in the playoffs thinking maybe you will hand it to Nate Roberts and run a fullback dive with the tight end? Or, you know.
But maybe don't.
You know, it's an interesting call. Also, if you're going to do that, give it to Max Clair. He's in his home. There is, you know, old stadium. Give him the touchdown. With that, why bring Lincoln Keenholz in now? Is it so that when you play Michigan, you can bring him in and he can throw the ball?
Yeah.
And we before we snapped in, we're in a different spot. We were talking about the Heisman and how they balance that. I don't know that Julian, if you run that same play, he probably scores on that play. Would you disagree?
It was blocked well. I mean, it not perfectly, but I don't know that there is a huge difference in the athleticism between the two. And that sounds a little bit...
Thank you.
It sounds a little bit crazy because a big part of the conversation throughout, you know, the quarterback competition and before the starter was named was you could tell that the running game was going to be a bigger aspect if Lincoln Keenholz was involved offensively. I do think he's a better runner. I think he can jump higher. He was an Iron Buckeye. All those things are true. But I don't, it's not a situation where they're, one is a pure pocket passer and a statue, and the other is a out and out dual threat rusher. I think Julian Sain has shown increasingly, not enough that Ohio State is ever going to build a, you know, zone read package or rely on him to run the football, but he certainly on the scramble against Penn State on third down and making two guys miss, he showed that he can do some things with his legs that he did not get very much credit for in August and in the build up to his starting debut. You know, could he have scored on that play if he's following C.J. Donaldson in the end zone? Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance that he could. Do you want him to be hit that way where you might be more willing to let someone with Lincoln's physical frame and mature, you know, physique and development process play? Like, are you more willing to take that risk with him? Yeah, almost certainly you are. But, you know, it's a fascinating dynamic because I do think that Julian could do those things. And there's probably going to be a time, you know, Will Howard having to keep it in the Cotton Bowl last year against Texas where Julian Sain is going to have to make a play with his legs. Was it going to be against Purdue? I mean,
yep.
No.
I mean, he's shown that he can use his legs and there, it's worked very well. I do wonder how much of the C.J. Stroud, I mean.
I'm not a running back?
Yes, I'm not a running back, is playing out in that where, you know, maybe Ryan says, hey, don't run unless you have to or you have the open field. Because if you do notice with Julian, he's very good at, if he's going to run, he's going to run out of bounds. If that, you know, even if there's probably another 3 yards, 4 yards he can get, he's going right out. So I'm sure that's a directive from Ryan that no yardage is worth you getting hurt with what's still to come. My other questions on this team, I look at the right guard. I think there's, I don't know that we have answers. I don't know that we're going to get answers. I think if you asked Ryan his concern level, truth,
lie detector version.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done that in here.
No, this is our first lie detector on the moon. if you ask Ryan most concern, it has to be right guard, wouldn't you say?
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And I think the frustrating part for him, Adam, is after Penn State, it was like, and I, last Tuesday, and we're in the team room, and I asked Ryan Day about Tegra responding to the challenge to his job. And the previous Wednesday, we saw him getting the extra work on the, on the field at the Woody. He played, I think, his best game of the season against Penn State. There probably isn't even a close second. And it was like, oh, okay. Well, they can relax. Well, maybe they relax too much, or maybe Tegra Tshabola relaxed too much because he immediately, Ryan Day, was getting those questions after the game on Saturday about what appeared to be a regression there. So just when they thought this thing is fixed, you know, they couldn't get Josh Padilla those reps because he was out on Saturday against Purdue. You know, Ryan Day said they think that he could be, it's not a long-term issue, they think he could be back against UCLA, and it would be at against Rutgers at the latest for him to return. That would have been the opportunity to, like, go 50-50, get a bigger evaluation and say, well, maybe it is time to make this switch to Josh Padilla, and they couldn't do that. And now the time is running out, because this does tie into all of our conversations now, whether Ryan Day wants to participate them or not, are based on what's going to happen after these next two games. And do you want to make a switch at right guard the week of Thanksgiving?
You can't.
You don't want to do that, and you probably shouldn't do that. Yeah. You can, and we saw them debate some of these moves going into the playoff and in that game against Tennessee and Nico Amoleva last year, but there's too many games, and Tigers play too much football, I think, for them to actually take that step for that game in particular. So it got wonky again, and I didn't think it was going to. I thought they had made enough progress, yeah. And then it was two steps forward and then three steps back.
It's probably not going to be solved by Michigan, and it's going to be a hold-your-breath scenario when they go up to Ann Arbor.
I think the frustrating thing, and Ryan Day is the coach, and Tyler Bowen's the position coach, just to watch it, you can see high-level football from Tegra Shibola, and then you can see him, the screen that was going to score, just missed the block. It's the swings within one game, that inconsistency that's maddening. And I'm sure when they're looking at this position battle and debating the step forward, it's like, you know what you're going to get from Tegra Shibola, but that doesn't actually appear to be the case, because there's so many volatile swings from snap to snap from him. I think that's why this door has been open for so long. And clearly there was some optimism that Josh Padilla was going to walk through it, but then he got the injury against Penn State and then didn't get to play at all against Purdue. And then Gabe Van Sickle played admirably. He got reps. Ethan Onyanwa got reps against Purdue. I don't know that either one of them made a case that's strong enough to replace Tegra Shibola, and Josh Padilla is the one who's in line to do that and couldn't.
And you want to, how healthy is he going to be when he gets back healthy? Yeah. I mean, you're trying to work that in. The only other question, I mean, I was kind of thinking this week, Anthony Rothman, 97.1 The Fan, asked me a good question, which is, how do you keep these next few weeks interesting?
Now you're stealing questions?
Yeah, no. I'm not going to ask Ryan, hey, Ryan, how do you keep this interesting?
Well, the issues are always there.
The issues are always there. David and Goliath. That was such a good answer. But I would like to ask Ryan, and this is just a sidebar, middle of the spring question that he would never actually give the answer to. And I don't know, because I think it's an impossible answer. And so I'll ask you. This is a Talkin' Tuesday asking Austin Wynn.
Oh, okay, good.
You are the head coach of a football team. You have no...
Is it Ohio State, or do I have to coach?
You can make up your own team.
Oh, okay.
No players on the roster.
Well, I'd like Ohio State's players.
Okay, so Nick, this is my question. You have the first overall pick, and you have to pick a defender.
Oh my. I see what you're doing here.
And I think that is insane. I read a mock draft. He's projected to go first overall, Arvel Reese.
Whose mock draft was that? That's nuts.
It was CBS Sports, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
First overall.
Yeah, I can't believe that we're living in this world where that question is real. Because it is real.
It's
and Caleb Downs is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be more careful about the way we describe him now, because I think he's the best defensive back in the country, and I think the best defender is wearing number 8, and he's 8 feet tall, and he's bulletproof, and nobody knows what solar system he's from.
Could be the moon.
Is this his home planet? How did we get here?
When I read that, my mouth dropped. And it's not insane to think. I mean, he is an anomaly of a linebacker. But I would love to, I mean, this isn't even a lie detector, Ryan. This is, you've got to get him like deep off camera, like, all right, you got one to draft, who you taking? And I think he probably would just resign. So
lie detector or truth serum, or maybe, you know, just a couple beverages.
Yeah. You know,
whatever gets the truth to come out.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like I talked to some people after practice last week on Wednesday night, and they were like, you should just see what he did in practice. They were talking about Arvel, like, he's doing things that are crazy. And people are just coming away amazed by just not just Saturdays, but every single day with what Matt Patricia and the defensive staff can and are able to do with him. And I think because – so that's my answer. Right now, the level he's playing
at, taking Arvell?
I would take Arvell because he just does so many things for you. And that's not to say that Caleb doesn't, because you could it's such a crazy world. Like, you could probably have them trade positions and responsibilities in games and they could each execute it.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But you're exactly right. The reason that Caleb isn't as necessary as he should be is because of Arvell.
And because you have Caleb, you are more comfortable letting Arvell do all these things. Yes. Like, and I think that that's the other thing that happened last week was people were saying, well, this Ohio State team, they have the four best players in America. And I'm like, four?
Yeah.
Why are you stopping at four? What's happening here? Because they're talking about Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, Caleb Downs, and Arvell Reese. I'm like, Carnell Tate is not like the second best wide receiver in the country.
I see he was projected as a fifth. I mean, there is a world. You add in Sonny Styles.
He gets so overlooked. And I'm sorry, I just did it myself.
Yeah.
Cade McDonald.
Cade McDonald. I think Jermaine Matthews, by the end of this all, is going to be a first-round pick. I mean, it's just the embarrassment of riches. The fact that we spent the whole offseason, I'm not going to say we, Buckeye fans knew what we had. And I think if you go back and look, Buckeye fans knew what was inside the Woody. Yeah. We knew what they had.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at our videos, we were complaining about why Texas was getting all this hype and everything. And in reality,
glad we were right about that.
Yeah, nailed that. And it's just insane that this might be one of the most talented Buckeye rosters I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Arvell has been pivotal for that. And it's
changed everything.
Allowed Matt Patricia to get in the lab and be Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory and just cook up whatever he wants. And your imagination runs wild. Like, it's crazy that Arvell has reached that potential and what that has meant for the defense as a whole. Now, it's at all three levels are contributing to that, but Arvell is also like popping up in all of them too.
Can we do this as an extra video as we lead up to what we assume will be the Rose Bowl? We draft teams.
Oh, boy.
And then we let people vote on them and see who wins.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I feel like that would be fun because I think it's just crazy because both teams, if you split this roster in half, you could probably still have a playoff and championship contender.
Well, yeah, they also would have beat Purdue.
I thought that too.
That was a scrimmage. We don't even have to ask Sleepy Ryan Day about that again. But
I think he got one question about Purdue. How many questions do you think he gets about UCLA? Last thing.
I think one.
I think two. I think one on Iamaleava, one on UCLA.
Well, because you're going to ask where the helmet is.
Yeah, that's right. They're both going to be me, I win the bet.
That's the problem. Like, you could just immediately follow up. Yeah,
and real quick, coach. What are your thoughts on UCLA? Oh, and also about UCLA.
And I have to win this bet real quick because it is Talking Tuesday on the beat. Bunch of questions and multiple studios to record in today. Thanks for bearing with us. Maybe it didn't affect you as much as it did us. We were rattled, but we powered through.
It took me a little to get back in the mojo there. If you watch those 5 minutes, I'm all over the place.
And if you were just listening on Apple or Spotify or Roku or anywhere you get the podcast, none of this will make any sense to you. But if you've been following along and watching, thanks for bearing with us as well as we got our bearings back to get ready for a Tuesday in the Woody Hayes Athletics Center, listening to Ryan Day as he previews the matchup with UCLA Saturday night, prime time in the Horseshoe. Thanks for joining us. He's Adam King from 10 TV and television. And I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then in another clash of undefeated teams, Earl Clark and Coach Steven Jackson lead the DMV Trilogy against Montrezl Harrell, Coach Dr. J, and the Chicago Triplets. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET. Presented by iHeart. Yay, yay, yay.